Well, it is my privilege to introduce our speaker today, Dr. Michael Oyedokun. Michael Oyedokun II serves as the Assistant Director of Ministry Formation and is a native of Waco, Texas. Michael has served in pastoral ministry for 13 years and holds several denominational positions with the Missionary Baptist General Convention of Texas and the National Baptist Convention of America. His personal interests include a love for technology, playing golf and sports. He played football for Stephen F. Austin in college. He earned his Master's of Divinity in Theology from G.W. Truett Seminary at Baylor University after obtaining his Bachelor of Business Administration in Marketing from Stephen F. Austin State University. He earned his Doctor of Ministry in Advanced Expository Preaching from Dallas Theological Seminary, and together with his wife and three children reside in the Dallas area. And we are also privileged today to speak of his wife. We're happy to have Chantel with us. Would you please join me in greeting her? And little special note, today is their anniversary. Congratulations in that regard. And he recently planted Love Community Baptist Church in Forney, Texas. And I was asking Michael before he came and spoke today, I said, how you doing? He says, I'm tired. Said, but that means I'm doing really good. Amen for that. Would you please join me in welcoming our friend today?
Yes, indeed. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to come to stand and to declare your gospel. We thank you for this opportunity to hear a word from you. Grant me the strength to preach your uncompromising gospel so that in all things you get the glory. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray and ask it all. Amen. Good morning. It's good to be before you, and I want to thank Dr. Yarbrough and Chaplain Joe for this opportunity to come. I had the privilege of speaking in summer chapel, and Chaplain Joe said I did such a horrible job they're going to let me do a do-over in the fall, and so I thank God for another chance. Amen. And so we're grateful to be here. As Dr. Yarbrough said, I'm thankful for my wife, who took off of work to come and to be here. And so it's a double privilege because it is our anniversary. So we're just thankful for this opportunity. I see some friends who have come to also support Sister Barbara Patterson and Sister Shonette Hill, and I see Reverend Broadway. And if there are others, thank you so much for coming out and supporting us. This is much pressure because in Summer Chapel, I only had about 12 to 14 minutes to try to get my point across, and so you can mess up quickly, but now I have a little bit more time. Amen. So as I prayed about what to speak and to preach on today, the Lord took us in the New Testament to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, and I just want to read two verses 4 and verse 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 5. And it reads, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And for a few moments, as I try to encourage us, I want to talk about that I am built to last. I am built to last. I believe it was in the late 80s or early 90s, the Ford Motor Company came up with a slogan for their line of trucks. And their slogan was built to last. And so they use this slogan to persuade buyers that we build our trucks to be dependable, durable, and it won't fall to pieces in the midst of tough terrain. And they say, if you buy our truck, you will have something to count on. But what about us? What about us in our Christian journey and us in our seasons of ministry? Do we have the determination to continue on when oppression and storms find their way in our lives? The question is, can God depend on us? Will we be able to stand in the face of adversity? And one of my favorite scriptures comes out of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. And I've come by to tell you, God knows what we can handle. And the good news that I have for you today is that God built us to last. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and so those of you who have taken your internships and you pulled out those planning worksheets, if you ever read the top of those, I know you just jump into the middle to get it over with. But at the top is this scripture that says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so the writer John is preaching to us to give us assurance that if we believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, then we are born of God. And because of this relationship, we are built to last because we can overcome the world. And so I have three little nuggets I'm going to drop in your lap and then we'll be on our way. The first thing is that I must be born of God. I must be born of God. John begins with a principle that is so simple yet so powerful. He says, if we are born of God, we will overcome the world. In verse 1 and verse 5 in this fifth chapter tells us how one is born of God. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is the Son of God. And so this means that believing that Jesus is their Messiah, not just the Messiah in a generic sense. And so we are born of God when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, when we put our trust in his atoning work on that old rugged cross. And so when I look at this word belief, it's not a mere I know of, but it's an intimate knowledge and relationship with Christ. Can I tell you, I would be in a bad situation and I probably wouldn't make another anniversary if my wife calls me on the phone and I hear her voice and I ask, who is this? Probably some words that can't be said here in chapel probably would come forth and she would have to ask the question, as long as you have known me, as much time as you have spent with me, how is it that you do not know my voice? And can I tell you how much time we spend in God's word, how much time we spend in prayer, how much time we allow God to speak to us ought to indicate that there ought to be some intimate knowledge of his voice and who he is in our lives. What does it mean to be born again? In John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus makes it plain that a man's first birth does not assure him of the kingdom, but only being born again of the water and of the Spirit gives us this blessed assurance that we can have eternal life. And most Jews of that time looked for the Messiah to bring in a new world in which the Jews would be preeminent. But Jesus came to bring a new life in which he would be preeminent. And so when a baby is born into this world, the baby will grow to mirror the features of their mother and father. This thing called DNA will assert that the baby belongs to their parents. And because I'm born of God, there's DNA that will mirror what my father is. Word says we are created in his image. It means I ought to talk like my father. I ought to walk like my father. I ought to act like my father because we share the same DNA. And I got happy here when I was studying this text that there is a strategic use of the preposition of. And when he uses this preposition of, he does something that makes us really know what the writer is saying and what he's trying to get across. When you use the preposition in, it denotes that something is inside of something else. And this is true, of course, because God covers us in love. But the preposition of does something to me. It means that I belong to something. So if I'm born of God, it means that I belong to him and I belong to the family and there is a place for me. Somebody in here, you ought to shout that you are of God and not just in God. When we are of God, it means that we have access to the kingdom. We have access to the inheritance that I'm not just a wayward person with no family, but I belong to the family of God. So I told you first that I must be born of God. But then secondly, in this text, I see that I was made to overcome. I was made to overcome. The idea that anything born of God could be defeated by this world was strange to John, and it should be strange to us as well. Nothing that comes from God can be defeated even with what we go through in this world. The unsaved person feels at home in the world. Unbelievers were born into it, and it's all that they know. It appeals to their fallen nature. It offers them all kinds of things that is enticing and things that they like. The world can mask its satanic nature behind a smiling face, offering pleasure, prosperity, and power. But those who are born of God, we belong to another world. For their citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven. That means we're just pilgrims traveling through this old barren land. We are children of God and we're in this world, but not of this world. And because of this, we are ambassadors for Christ. This world is not our home. And I don't know about you, but this helps me to endure the storms of life and knowing that whatever comes in to my life is not the final piece to the puzzle. Because I'm born of God, because I'm a believer, because I've been saved sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, I know that I'm just here temporarily. And I know that the best is yet to come. Y'all got to excuse me. Sometimes I get happy when I think about what's on the way. And I realize that what I'm going through right now is just temporary because I know that there is eternal life. But while I'm here, I cannot let this world change who I am. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Paul also encourages us, and I love this pericope of text in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But it says, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I come to tell you, because I was built to last, I can overcome the sins of this world to inherit the blessed salvation that God has for me. And so as I approach sin and as I approach the evil of this world, I approach it with the confidence that I can overcome. Any stumbling block in my way, I can get over. Any ditches or that are dug for me, I can make it through. Any rivers that's placed, God will allow me to cross over my problems, because I am built to last. As I do on Sunday morning, I'm on my way to my seat. And any of y'all know Good Baptist, we say that about 3 or 4 times, but I'm being honest, I'm on my way to my seat. So I've told you that I'm born of God. Secondly, I was made to overcome. But then thirdly, my victory comes by faith. My victory comes by faith. Since believing on him is the key to being born of God, in verse 1, the key to having victory is faith. The life of abiding faith and trust in Jesus Christ is a life that overcomes the pressures and the temptations of this world. You must know who Jesus is. Scripture says many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And I don't know your testimony. I don't know what you've been through, so I can only give testimony for myself. But I've seen the miracles that Jesus has performed in my own life. And the reason why I have faith in God is because God has proven to me time and time again that no matter what I'm up against, if I have faith the size of a mustard seed, I can move mountains out of my way. If I have faith, just a little bit of faith, God says that I can overcome what I'm dealing with in this world. And so when I, by faith, know who Jesus is, I can overcome. And we overcome primarily because of who we are in Christ, and not just because of what we do. Some of us, we think because we come to seminary and get our education that affords us a special place in glory. But no, I have a special place because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. My belief that he is the Son of God. My belief that he is the Messiah. My belief that he died for my sins. This is what gets me entrance into glory. And we overcome because we are born of God. And we are born of God because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so in this world, you will have tribulation. And John writes of this in chapter 16, verse 33. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Because Jesus has overcome the world, as we abide in him, we are overcomers in Jesus. And John said of those who are growing weary in their walk with the Lord, that you have overcome the wicked one. And as we walk with Jesus and as we grow in that walk, we will overcome our spiritual enemies. I like walking with Jesus. It's like walking with somebody that's bigger than me. And yeah, there are people in this world who are bigger than me. And I like walking with somebody who, that if somebody messes with me, I have somebody bigger and badder than me that'll help me in order to fight my battles. And can I tell you, there's no bigger brother than to have Jesus Christ walking with you. And so overcomers have a special place in the world to come. And Jesus promised to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This comes from Revelations 3 and 21. And then Revelations 12 and 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And so overcomers, we can overcome because the blood of Jesus overcomes Satan's accusations. The word of their testimony overcomes Satan's deceptions. And loving not their lives overcomes Satan's violence. And so now I know why the anthem of the civil rights movement, the song said, "We shall overcome." Because there was confidence in their fate that one day God will deliver them from their struggle. And can I suggest to those of you today who are going through whatever trials or difficulties that's in your life that there is an overcoming heading your way. And so when Jesus was headed to the cross, he overcame. He overcame ignorance. He overcame hatred. He overcame betrayal. He overcame demons. He overcame sickness. He overcame the cross. But early that Sunday morning, he overcame death. And he got up out of that grave with all power in his hands. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, Paul gives us the confidence when he proclaims, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But then I can shout at verse 47 when it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I come out to ask you, are you built to last? Can you prevail over your trials? Can you claim the victory over your situation right now? And I don't know about you, but I can walk through this world with my chest stuck out, singing the great hymn, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. I've been born of his spirit. I've been washed in his blood. But here's where you can shout. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. If I was at my church On Sunday morning, I say, won't he do it? Won't he build us up to last? Won't he put us in a position that we can overcome our trials? Won't he get us to the place that that this world will not destroy us or cause us to be discouraged? And then I celebrate and I say, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? But I'm going to leave you with this, one of the great hymns of the church. It says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. And so, God, I say, have thine own way with my life. Make me in what you want for me to be. Mold me into what I need to be in order to be dependable, to be durable, and that I won't fall in the midst of storms. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for letting us know that we're built to last. We thank you, oh God, for just pouring into us, letting us know that because we are born of you, that we can overcome this world. Strengthen us and keep us as we continue our journey in ministry, but allow us to withstand what this world throws in our life. We need your strength. We need your covering. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. God bless you.